Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll & Mooring. We are your co-hosts for this edition, Peter Ayer and Yuan Zhou, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts, legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. We're tracking a wide variety of activities relating to the new administration, including executive orders, agency directives, litigation, and responses among contractors to shifting priorities, requirements, and expectations. We're going to touch on a few developments and some things that we're watching and sort of things that we expect to be on the horizon. So Yuan's going to get us started.
Thanks, Peter. To kick us off, GSA issued two Civilian Agency Acquisition Council letters dated February 15th. Directing agencies to consider class deviations and then corresponding GSA-specific class deviations. Of particular note, the GSA class deviation relating to the ending illegal discrimination and restoring merit-based opportunity executive order directs contracting officers to remove specific clauses that track to the OFCCP's regulations implementing the now rescinded EO 11246. We expect removal of those clauses from solicitations and existing contracts through modifications unless there is less than 6 months remaining on the period of performance. GSA's memo also confirms that clauses relating to compliance with the Veterans Readjustment Assistance Act and the Rehabilitation Act remain unchanged. Peter?
Earlier this week, the White House issued a memorandum entitled The Radical Transparency About Wasteful Spending. And it's a memo, and it basically states that the U.S. government, and here's the quote, spends too much money on programs, contracts, and grants that do not promote the interests of the American people, close quote. And it requires agencies, and now I'm going to quote again, to take all appropriate actions to make public to the maximum extent permitted by law, and as the heads of agencies deem appropriate, to promote the policies of the Trump administration, complete details of every terminated program, canceled contract, terminated grant, or any other discontinued obligation of federal funds, close quote. Relatedly, the DOGE website now lists what it calls a wall of receipts, identifying contracts, grants, leases that have been terminated or canceled. And it's important to note that specific companies and recipients of federal funding are referenced on this website. So what are some of the implications? Well, I'll mention one. So we're working with a lot of companies on a really like wide set of strategies to prepare for potential terminations or negotiations about cost or scope reductions. Companies should also be prepared for inquiries about specific programs identified publicly by the government as potentially fraud, waste, and abuse. So that's obviously a very important development for contractors to be thinking about. And I'm going to turn it back to Yuan to talk a bit about the litigation we're seeing.
Yeah, so we're also keeping a close eye on various litigation proceeding in federal courts around the country. There are multiple lawsuits underway covering different topics, including former federal employees challenging their dismissals, challenges to certain executive orders, including the EOs focused on DEI programs and gender ideology. There's litigation about the deferred resignation program offered to government employees, and allegations that there has been an unconstitutional delegation of power to DOGE and that DOGE's actions have exceeded the executive's authority under the Constitution. There's also been active litigation involving the so-called funding freezes at certain agencies. Much of this litigation relates to challenges to EO 14169, reevaluating and realigning United States foreign aid, and an OMB memo that implements certain aspects of this EO. Now, within the past few days, in one of these matters, the acting deputy administrator of USAID filed a declaration, which states, and I quote, USAID is in the process of adopting a comprehensive review process for assuring payment integrity and determining that payments under existing contracts and grants are not subject to fraud or other basis for termination, end quote, for each payment request, which was slowing down payments. The declaration also provided that USAID has terminated 498 contracts and issued guidance to suspend about 6,824 grants. Now, many other agencies, contractors, and grantees are impacted beyond the USAID situation because the now rescinded OMB memo had a broader mandate to freeze funding during a review period. And most notably, we're seeing impacts on contracts and grantees working with the NIH, NSF, Department of State, FEMA, Department of Education, CFPB, and many others. Peter, back to you.
All right. Thanks, Yuan. We're also watching a number of other developments. I'm just going to mention a few things that are on our minds right now. Many companies are watching closely what will happen with tariffs and trade. Recently, the White House issued the Reciprocal Trade and Tariffs Memo. That follows the America First Trade Policy Executive Order and Memo by requiring agencies to review all necessary actions to investigate the harm to the United States from any non-reciprocal trade agreements adopted by any trading partners after submission of the agency's America First Trade Policy Report, and then another report detailing proposed remedies in pursuit of reciprocal trade relations with each trading partner. OMB then has to submit a fiscal analysis on the effects of the proposed reciprocal trade and tariff plans. So that's on the tariff side. We also continue to see developments about federal and state agencies trying to move the needle in different directions on diversity, equity, and inclusion. For instance, the Department of Education issued what it refers to as a Dear Colleague letter to schools and educational institutions on February 14th. The letter states that racial discrimination and DEI programs are in violation of the Supreme Court's holding in Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard. And according to the letter, that case stands for the proposition that, open quote, if an educational institution treats a person of one race differently than it treats another person because of that person's race, the educational institution violates the law, close quote. The letter also states that the department is going to begin enforcing the letter 2 weeks after the date of the letter. That's coming up on February 28th. Accordingly, the letter provides some guidance, and I'm going to quote again here. All educational institutions are advised to ensure their policies and actions comply with existing civil rights law, cease all efforts to circumvent prohibitions on the use of race by relying on proxies or other indirect means to accomplish such ends, and cease all reliance on third-party contractors, clearinghouses, or aggregators that are being used by institutions in an effort to circumvent prohibited uses of race. Now, we've also seen quite a bit of guidance from states, including guidance from 16 Democratic attorneys general regarding DE&I, including how DE&I initiatives, and here's a quote again, help businesses to prevent workplace discrimination and are consistent with federal and state law. The guidance also provides best practices regarding recruitment, hiring, professional development and retention, and assessment and integration. So lots of activity right now on that front. Finally, I want to mention that a recent appointment over at DOD is relevant to contractors. That appointment of the DOD Chief Information Security Officer, given her background and prior focus on CMMC, strongly suggests that cybersecurity for government contractors is going to remain a top priority for DOD. So there's lots that Yuan and I are watching. We've got a team of colleagues who are closely tracking these developments, and we will be back in a couple of weeks, but we will wrap up this edition. This has been the Fastest 5 Minutes, brought to you by Kroll & Mooring. See you again in 2 weeks. If you have any questions, I can be reached at 202-624-2807, and Yuan can be reached at 202-624-2666. Thanks so much for joining us.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.